Hi, I'm Bethany.
And I'm Jonathan.
And you're listening to Horror Hero.
And like a vanilla couple on Valentine's Day, we're still working out the kinks. What have you been up to, Bethany?
I got to see the monkey twice already. I've been trying to watch some Alfred Hitchcock before it leaves the Criterion Channel lately. And I have been hunting down Blu-rays this last couple weeks.
Well, show us that horror haul, please.
All right. So, first up, I got Woman of the Hour, not horror, but true crime. And I mainly grabbed this because it's so rare to find a Netflix physical release that I felt like I had to get it.
I didn't even know it had come out physically. I'm gonna have to pick that one up.
Yeah, I had no idea. But yeah, if we want Netflix to give us movies in physical releases, we need to like support that.
Absolutely. Any special features with that one?
It has a few. I think it's just cast interviews, though, which
Okay.
is not super compelling, but it's better than nothing, which a lot of Blu-rays these days have. I moved recently, and I somewhere in my move, I appear to have lost my box set of Scream 1 to 4.
No.
So I basically was like, well, you know what? They were on Blu or they were on DVD anyways, so this is an excuse to upgrade them to Blu-ray. I've pre-ordered a box set of Scream 1 to 3, and I'm waiting for that to show up because I can't find any box sets of all four on Blu-ray.
That's
But
interesting.
Scream 4 showed up
I love that
this week,
cover.
so yeah, I was kind of stoked to find this cover on eBay. And it does have some commentary, some deleted extended scenes, gag reel, making of. So
Oh, yeah.
decent special features. And
Absolutely.
then I got Wild at Heart, which is one of the two David Lynch movies I've never seen, because this has never been available for me to stream anywhere. So I finally bit the bullet and I grabbed the physical copy from Shout. And so yeah, it's got interviews, it's got deleted scenes, it has a documentary, and yeah, like David Lynch talking about putting together a physical release for this, and like some other like documentaries focusing on David Lynch and on the making of EPK, it says,
That's
which,
awesome.
yeah.
I think you beat me to that one. I think it might be sold out on Shout Factory right now.
Okay. I ordered it from Diabolik DVD.
Okay.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it because they were sold out. So when they got a reshipment, they
Okay.
sent me out my copy.
Nice.
Yeah, so
I think they might be showing that here locally. In Lawrence, maybe. So I might have to go see that at Liberty Hall.
that's awesome. Yeah.
All right. What else you
All right.
got?
Well, how about you? Oh, that is everything for me. So how about you? What have you been up to and
Awesome. Well,
collecting?
so yesterday I got to go see Beetlejuice the musical. I took my sister for her birthday, and it was a blast. I love that musical. I love the music to it. It's so fun and lighthearted. And I was a little like kind of wary, it being a traveling show, it being a different cast. I had seen clips of Justin Collette, who was going to be Beetlejuice, and I wasn't really like a big fan of what he was doing. But he really wowed me, and so did the whole cast. The production was really good, the lighting was incredible. But yeah, go, guys, go support local theater, please. It's always fun. But yeah, as for my horror haul, I picked up a 4K of Pulp Fiction. And this is actually pretty cool. So it's got,
Nice.
there's the back of it, and this slides out. Came with some stickers and stuff, some various cards. Oh, some like postcards and photos. Yeah, we'll just kind of go through them.
Nice.
Vincent. There we go. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Obviously iconic.
Yeah.
That one too. And then, yep, we got a sticker sheet.
That's cool.
I have to put these on my VCR.
Nice.
And then another card.
Okay.
Just looks like it's. But actually, the coolest part of this is the slipcase for it. So here's the front of it, the
Yep.
back. We'll go in. So it's 4K. Interviews, Siskel and Ebert at the movies. Deleted scenes. Doesn't look like there's a commentary track on it. I wish there was, but so, like I said, this slipcase is really cool because
Oh, wow.
it's secretly a
Oh,
pop-up.
that's awesome.
So that was really cool. Let me put that away real quick. Cool. And so we're just gonna go down the list. I got picked up Constantine. Nice steel
Nice.
book.
Yeah.
Love this, Keanu Reeves. This is actually maybe one of my favorite steel books that I've picked up recently.
Wow.
It's embossed. I don't know if you can tell, like it actually there's some indentations there.
Yeah, that's
It
so
just
cool.
this movie is great. You know, if they do a Constantine going forward in the DC universe or whatever, I think Raoul Coley should play Constantine. I think he would
Yeah,
be pretty perfect.
that would be good.
That man looks great smoking a cigarette and in a trench coat. Then I picked up the 4K steelbook of Nosferatu.
Nice.
I absolutely
Mine is
love.
on pre-order.
Oh no. I absolutely love the back of it. They did sort of like those posters with the two dots for the eyes. Super creepy, super cool. That comes with a commentary track. And it's the also has the extended edition, which I think has an extra 4 minutes. So probably not a lot, just some extended shots. Then I got the Blu-ray of Highlander. I don't love, I don't know if you can see it. It just has Blu-ray printed on there. Kind of cheesy. Picked up Book of Eli. What else do we have? Tomb Raider,
Later.
Cradle
Nice.
of Life. Okay. Straight out of Compton.
Nice.
These were all at half price books. They were pretty cheap.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Chicago.
Chicago. Nice. Wow, that's a nice cover.
It is nice. I really liked it. Then we then I picked up Lights Out. This
Oh,
is
yeah.
David F. Sandberg. I haven't seen this yet, but he is doing Until Dawn. So I thought I would check this out before Until Dawn comes out. Picked up Invasion of the Body Snatchers. This is the Donald Sutherland version from the 70s. I've not seen this. Machete.
Nice.
I this is maybe the most me movie that I have not seen. This I feel like this movie screams me, just a cheesy grindhouse like action movie. I don't know why I never saw it, but I have to see it now because I own it. And then going a little further back in time, we have some VHS. I picked up 13 Ghosts.
Oh, jealous.
It was, I think it was $1.99.
Cool.
So no mold, looks great.
That's
And then this next one's kind of a weird one, but it might take some explaining. I picked up Michael Jordan's Playground.
okay.
I am not a basketball person, but this is the first non-music video directed by Zack Snyder, who would go on
Okay.
to who would go on to direct Dawn of the Dead, which is arguably one of the best remakes of all time. And so I kind of thought it'd be a cool little item just to have in the collection. And
Nice.
sort of see where he began. And
Yeah.
then even further back in time, in the Wayback Machine, I picked up a couple books. So I picked up Stephen King's Skeleton Crew, which includes the story The Monkey. It also has The Mist. It's got a couple, like quite a few in here. I'm not gonna lie, this is the first Stephen King thing that I've ever read. Yeah, there's quite a few in here. But yeah, so you
Nice.
know. And then oh no. And then I picked up The Lady from
Oh,
the Black
yeah.
Lagoon. I had been listening to this on Audible and I needed to pick up the physical book as well. Now that my leaning tower of physical media has fallen, I need to clean that up real quick. But yeah, if you would like, we can continue on. So let's go ahead and move right on over to a couple of news stories in the world of horror. According to Bloody Disgusting, Sam Raimi's new movie Send Help has a release date of January 30th, 2026. This movie is starring Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien. Are you excited for this movie, Bethany? Are you a big Sam Raimi fan?
I am. Yeah, so always exciting to get something new from Sam, especially it's been, fewer and farther between the last decade or so. Honestly, I was pretty mixed on the second Doctor Strange movie, but the stuff in it that was clearly Sam was excellent.
It was very
And
Sam.
yeah. And so getting like an original movie from him coming up here really soon is super exciting. I am very intrigued by this being kind of like a deserted island survival story from him and how where he's going to go with that, because that sounds very fun.
Absolutely.
Also, yeah, cast is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a huge Sam Raimi fan. I don't make any bones about it. Like I absolutely love the man. I think Evil Dead is better than Evil Dead 2. I think it might arguably be in talks for the best horror movie of all time. I really, really like Raimi and his sensibilities and just his like sort of renegade filmmaker style. But yeah, what do you have for our next piece of news?
So Oz Perkins did an interview with IndieWire, and he talks a little bit about his next movie. At the end of the credits of The Monkey, they're showing a teaser for The Keeper or for Keeper, which is due out in October. It's being released by Neon. I didn't get to see the teaser. It wasn't at the end of either of my showings of The Monkey, but you did. So, what are your thoughts just based on that quick teaser?
I did. It is very much a teaser. There is, you know, it's very vibe heavy. A lot of looks, a lot of breathing. It definitely feels eerie, and feels completely different from The Monkey, which I think is sort of Osgood Perkins's style. He was quote. Go ahead.
He says that he kind of that's what he wants to do, right? He says, "Oh, right, he's not going to hit the same beat twice. I don't know what to expect."
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's fun that Oz is trying to do something different with every movie.
Absolutely. And I hope that we can get more from creatives in that sort of vein. I'm always down for new and interesting takes.
And this is his first or third film in a row where he's shooting in my backyard. He's shooting in Vancouver. All Long Legs, The Monkey, and Keeper are all shot here in British Columbia. And he's also utilizing Tatiana Maslany as a lead actress again in Keeper, and she played a pretty pivotal role in The Monkey. So that's exciting for me because Tatiana is Canadian, so getting a little bit more Canadian representation in horror, always good.
Absolutely. I think part of the reason you didn't get that teaser, I think it has something to do with this trade war going on. It has sort of dove into a trailer war as well. But anyway, moving on, according to Deadline, The Creep Tapes has been greenlit for a second season. Did you get a chance to check out Mark Duplass's The Creep Tapes on Shudder last year?
No, I actually have not seen Creep or Creep 2 or the Creep Tapes. I should maybe check them out at some point, but also the pitch was not necessarily my taste.
That's fair. What are your feelings on found footage?
I occasionally like it. I really like it when it's motivated, which it does seem like it is very motivated by like the story for Creep. Like the premise is really built around a logical reason why there would be this found footage. So I like that. It's not found footage that is like the non-starter for me. Just it seemed like it was very uncomfortable to watch. And I sometimes am just not in the mood to be made uncomfortable
I think there's enough in the
by my
world to,
horror movies.
I think there's enough in the world to bring you discomfort right now. I absolutely love Creep. I love found footage in general. But the quirkiness and the eeriness of both of those movies are it's phenomenal. And I really thought I was like a series just didn't I didn't think it was gonna gel very well. And even then, like when it started coming out, the episodes were 30 minutes, and I was like, this is not enough time to sort of build that tension. And really, for the most part, all six episodes were pretty good. I think there was maybe one that was like a little bit on the weaker side, but even then, and our buddy Josh Rubin, shows up in an episode, and he that is one of the better episodes for sure. But yeah, definitely watch Creep. It is it's phenomenal.
All right, and then our next story, Taylor Lautner, who probably everybody knows, at least by contact, that he plays a werewolf in the Twilight series of movies. Variety is reporting that he is working on a film or film on a series with Amazon MGM Studios called Taylor Lautner Werewolf Hunter. And it's basically going to be this meta series where it's going to try to explain why he's maybe like disappeared from the spotlight in the post-Twilight era. And the pitch is really that he's become a werewolf hunter. And so the thing that made him famous is now his greatest enemy.
This sounds insane, and I am
Yeah.
100% here for it. I'm glad to see that he is finally getting his sort of weird kick that both Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart got to do. And same thing with like Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah.
As, say what you will about the Twilight movies or Harry Potter, but those actors are set for life now, and they can do anything that they want to do. And I'm just glad that Taylor Lautner finally is stepping out of his comfort zone and doing something kind of weird.
Yeah, and a Radio Silence is part of the producing team for the show. And I think they're actually going to do some directing for it as well. Like people are pretty mixed on what Radio Silence has done with the Scream sequels, but they've done some good stuff in the past as well. I really like, oh my gosh, what was their found footage with Zach Guilford? I really liked that movie. That's their first feature.
I'm gonna have to check this out. I do not know. I didn't know they made a found footage movie.
Yeah, they did it right after they did VHS. They did a segment on VHS 99, I think. Yeah, now I have to like.
AI is so bad. Because I look up Radio Silence found footage, and it just says Radio Silence is a filmmaker collective that has directed found footage horror movie and other films. Found footage films,
Devil's
Blair
Due.
Witch Project, Cannibal Holocaust. Like, that's not, you're not helping. Devil's Due.
Devil's Due, yeah,
Okay.
is their found footage film. It was their feature debut. Definitely received a lot of mixed reviews on release, but I do think it really works. If you think of it as this love story that unravels into horror. And yeah, Zach Guilford is really good in it.
Mixed reviews in a horror movie. I have no, that
Never.
doesn't compute for me, especially a found footage movie. Well, awesome. Yeah, I do really like, I love Ready or Not. I am a
Good one.
little skeptical about a sequel to Ready or Not. But Abigail was great. Abigail was a blast. And then moving on to our final little tidbit of news, Universal is opening up a year-round horror experience in Las Vegas, and it has been dubbed Universal Horror Unleashed. And this attraction is said to open August 14th at Area 15. Have you ever been to Universal Studios?
Yes, in California. So,
Okay.
and when I was there, they actually did have it wasn't during like horror nights or anything, but they still had a classic Universal Monsters walkthrough haunted house going. So I did that. I am notorious. Notoriously bad with haunted houses. I am made fun of endlessly by my sister and my friends because I cannot handle a haunted house. Like, I know that it's not real. I know that the people are not ooh, are not allowed to like touch me or hurt me. Like, but I'm just like all of the sensory information around me is like, you're in danger. Get out now.
It's just too
So,
much.
yeah. So,
Okay.
I'm good with horror movies. I'm not good with haunted houses. I definitely screamed in the face of the the chainsaw wielding clown that was at the exit door to get away from me and ran out the door.
That's great.
Yeah, so I'll never live it down.
I remember this one time going into a it was a corn maze, like a haunted corn maze, and there was a scare actor, and he was just I mean, he was statuesque to the point where I thought he was a prop. And I went up and I was sort of like investigating him, and I'm like, man, this is so cool. Like, it looks so good. And oh, he got me so good. I lost it. I've never been to a Universal Park or Horror Nights, but I would absolutely love to go. This is definitely the year of the Universal Parks, as they are opening the Dark Universe land over there, which is a Universal horror themed area of the park. There's going to be a Wolfman ride, and a Frankenstein ride, I believe. I've seen some of these animatronics, and they are incredible, super lifelike. And you know, I might have to eventually work up my way to getting down there to check it out. And then this year-round haunted house experience in Vegas, I think that would be a lot of fun to check out too. I think there's something like four haunted houses that they're gonna have, and there's gonna be food experiences and all sorts of stuff like that.
That's fun.
It'll be fun. But anyway, let's move on into our review. You want to hit us with the synopsis?
Yeah, for sure. So we're talking about the monkey today. And the synopsis for the monkey is when twin brothers find a mysterious wind-up monkey, a series of outrageous deaths tear their family apart. 25 years later, the monkey begins a new killing spree, forcing the estranged brothers to confront the cursed toy. I'm basically like, I'm thinking of the monkey as the Babadook for people who like Quentin Tarantino, the Coen brothers, and Sam Raimi. You should expect over-the-top kills, gallows humor, and quirky characters.
I think you took it away. Like, that's we're done. End of episode. Like, that sums it up perfectly.
Yeah, if you like elevated horror, you're not gonna like this movie. I'm sorry, guys. Like, it's not serious. It is until it is. But it is not self-serious. It takes itself very much with a sense of humor. Yeah, it's over the top. If you like Rube Goldberg type elaborate kills, like you're going to find in Final Destination, the monkey has a lot to offer you there. There's some very, very outrageous over the top kills in the monkey as well. And like, yeah, it's got a really punchy sense of humor.
Absolutely. It is night and day different from Osgood Perkins's last film, Long Legs, which I also really, really enjoyed. But this one, it just has this dark sense of humor that that really kind of spoke to me. And it's not like goofy, I would say. It just sort of toes this line of laughing through uncomfortability. I thought, like you were saying, there are the kills in this movie are just balls to the wall, absurd. And again, a lot of people are comparing it to Final Destination. I think it's been a really long time since I've seen any of the Final Destination movies, but I'll go out on a limb and say I like this better. It is Theo James is the lead actor. He plays a set of twins. It is and he is incredible. He really carries this movie. But yeah. Sorry, I'm kind of drawing blanks right now.
All good.
I saw the movie 3 times. I don't know why I'm. It is. I actually got a chance to read the short story it's based on, and it has a very similar tone, a very silly premises. I think Osgood Perkins really sort of captured the essence of the novel and heightened it, to the point where I think it definitely exceeds the short story. He sort of nails home the themes of the story, in honestly a better way than I think King does. But I think what I enjoy the most about the movie, it took me to my second watch, to sort of understand that it almost feels like a parody of Stephen King in a way, especially these scenes of the young of Bill and
How?
Hal as young boys, and like just the dialogue between the two of them is so like goofy and cheesy, and like it does, it feels like it's sort of like poking fun at that sort of like Stranger Things-esque, like the way
Like,
that kids talk.
the Stand By Me, because Stand By Me, also based on a Stephen King short story and a big influence on Stranger Things.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you can kind of see where it's like, yeah, the like this over the top, verbal abuse that the brothers are kind of throwing around as kids. And it's like, it's very heightened in The Monkey. What I've seen a lot of, so I went on a rabbit hole on Letterboxd looking at bad reviews for this
Oh, yeah.
movie, just because, well, for every once in a while it intrigues me to see, when I love a movie, why do other people hate this movie? So what is there a common theme? And a lot of people were talking about it being dumb, it being for teenage, like it was written by a 15-year-old boy was a common insult thrown at it, like too much swearing. And especially after kind of watching it a second time and going through my notes and things I was noticing, I really think it's a very unfair criticism to say that this movie is dumb. Because I think it's very smart. I think structurally, like there's this movie really, it plays fair with the audience. It plants things and then it pays them off. The kills, it's always like you get this establishing where you see all of the dangerous things in a room that might contribute to a kill. And then when they're all used very creatively in kills, it feels very much like earned. Even though it's this ridiculous over the top kill, it still feels earned because it's like, well, all of these very dangerous items were in this space and we showed them to you. Like even so, there's a particular kill where somebody gets lit on fire by a gas stove, and that gas stove turning on was highlighted in a scene previous in the movie. So it's like that idea of the danger of that stove has been planted already and then like doesn't pay off for like 5 minutes, but when it pays off, you're like, of course the stove was gonna come back.
And I didn't know this, but that was Eugene Levy's daughter.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, she is great in the movie as well. There's a lot of like a lot of characters, a lot of gags. But yeah, so let's kind of go down the and break the movie down sort of beat by beat.
So we start out with a cold open, and Actually,
with Adam Scott.
yeah, let's throw in a spoiler warning before we go.
Okay.
Okay, because yeah, at this point we're kind of like getting into full spoilers. So,
Absolutely.
all right, guys, so we're gonna totally spoil this movie for you now. So if you want to see it, if you've been convinced by what we've said already, pause here, go watch the movie. It's great.
Two thumbs up. Go see
Yeah,
it.
we love it.
Balls to
Had a
the
great
wall.
time. Yeah. So our cold open, we get Adam Scott just popping by for a quick little cameo, and he is covered in blood, and he runs into a pawn shop carrying a what we see as a toy monkey. And we get a highlight of a bunch of dangerous stuff in this pawn shop. The pawn shop owner comes out. They have this really funny, like, deadpan dialogue about, like, you're covered in blood. And he's like, but it's not my own. And then he's like, I really need you to take this monkey off my hands. The store owner says it's a toy monkey. And Adam Scott is like, do not call it a toy monkey. And this is a recurring motif that pays off in the end of the movie. We're going to continually be reminded that the men who encounter this toy monkey are like, don't call it a toy. Bad idea. Yeah.
It sort of goes to like, don't belittle the entity, I guess,
Yeah.
of sort of so, you know, the movie is definitely about generational trauma,
Yep.
and abuse, and sort of like the way that men sort of lock that up, and yeah, they're sort of poking fun at this idea of like, just sloughing it off still. Like, don't call it a toy. Don't like take it seriously. Because, you know, because as a society, we don't do that always, especially with men. I don't know if you noticed this, but in the antique store or the thrift store, there is a painting of Saturn devouring his son in
Oh,
the
I did
background.
not see that. No, I was
And
trying to read all the little notices behind the guy and I missed that. Okay.
yes, it
That's
so it
cool.
yeah, kind of a nice Easter egg of
Yeah.
foreshadowing. So yeah, and the shop owner obviously does not take this seriously, and we get a very Rube Goldberg-esque mouse chewing on a rope that knocks a harpoon gun loose, and it fires into him and then rips out his intestines in a very comical way. And then we sort of we just get this in this scene. I don't know if Adam Scott is going through anything, but he looked really like gaunt. He looked a lot like thinner than usual. I don't know if it was just makeup, because he did look almost skeletal. But then we sort of get a sort of Inglourious Bastards slash Once Upon a Time in Hollywood flamethrower scene, where Adam Scott just goes for it and torches the monkey. And then we cut to present day.
Yeah, well, to 1990, we're
1999.
still in 1999. So this is the childhood part of this movie when Hal and Bill are kids is set in 1999, and then we're gonna jump forward to present day a little bit later. And yeah, we get some voiceover from Hal, who is the main character of the story for sure, played by Theo James. His brother Bill is also played by Theo James, and he kind of gets like a bit more point of view later on in the movie, but we start out with Hal. Hal is recounting how his childhood with Bill is difficult. Bill bullies him. They both love their mother a lot. Like their mother is played fantastically by Tatiana Maslany. She's very funny in her little bit of the movie that she gets to be in. And she talks about how their dad went out for cigarettes and never came back. Now, we know that probably what happened is that he wound up getting killed by the monkey. But they don't know that. They have no idea what is going on. He's gone out and he's never come back. And one day, the boys are searching through his stuff in the basement and they find this box that says, Organ Grinder Monkey Like Life. Hal opens up the box. It's the monkey. They're like, what is this thing? And I think Bill pulls it out and then like turns the key in the back of the monkey.
So
And
Hal
yeah.
pulls it out, and then Bill, being this sort of an asshole bigger brother,
Yeah.
just barely. I mean, they're twins, so he's holding over the 3 minutes of
Yeah.
being the older brother in this situation. Just goes to show kind of how big of a jerk he is to his younger brother.
Yeah.
So he Hal takes it out. Bill said, well, give me that, it's mine, like, I'm the oldest, I have, everything that was dad's is should be mine or whatever. And then he's like, oh, do you think it works? And they he cranks it up, and the monkey sort of rears up and then freezes. They think it's broken, and he throws it back at Hal, and Hal puts it in the box. Cut to the next day. They are going to a hibachi grill with their babysitter, as their mom is about to go on a date, sort of a blind date. She so yes, the babysitter, Annie, takes them. Again, there's some more of Hal. Sort of Hal is sort of this, like, he's very shy, and Bill is just this, like, attention seeking sort of, like, ham. He's the babysitter asks them not to, whatever you do, don't touch the table. And he just goes, I'll try, but I'm just a man. And so, as they get in the car, they realize, Bill realizes that, or no, Hal realizes that the monkey is in the seat with them. And there's sort of this, like, unease, but he gets in the car anyway. And so they go to the hibachi grill, and as you can sort of tell, it is, foreshadowing, like, what is going to happen. Then we. So we cut to the hibachi grill, and they're having a great time. And we're cutting back and forth between a shot of the monkey in the car versus inside the restaurant. And the hibachi chef is, flinging his knives all over the place. And as the monkey starts to drum, we get our first. Well, I guess our second kill, really, of the movie, where the chef flings his knife up and decapitates the babysitter, whose head then falls onto the grill, and we get a very hard cut to her funeral, to the photo at her funeral, and
And
this
the
is,
organ music playing.
and the organ music playing, and this is arguably one of the funniest scenes in the movie, with this wonderful
The priest.
this
Oh, he's
stoner
so
priest,
funny.
who, yeah, it just, again, like, is super awkward, and, like, I don't know, it's but so yeah, we get we're moving on, and then Tatiana Maslany takes her boys and sort of has to explain death to them, and obviously does it in a very odd way. It's not the most reassuring way for sure. She, this is where kind of the tagline from the movie happens, and the tagline being, "Everybody dies, and that's life." And then she, to cheer her boys up, she says, "Let's go dancing."
So we cut to them dancing, and it's this really, like, it's probably one of the most beautiful scenes in the movie, I think, in a sense of just it's very nicely shot, but also it just feels like this little bit of like peace and calm and happiness in the midst of a very dark story. And then we get like Bill bullying Hal in escalating ways at school. Chiefly, he seems to have enlisted a gang of very mean girls. And I mean, fair. Like, preteen girls can be very mean, and these girls just mercilessly bully poor Hal. And there's a couple different instances of him getting bullied. The monkey shows up inexplicably in his backpack at school, and then he gets like Bill and the girls pelt him with bananas later that day in gym, and Hal basically arrives home in a rage, and he
This is his
finds
final straw.
like he's done. We've already seen him fantasize about killing Bill,
With his mother's bowling ball.
dropping it onto Bill's face. And honestly, this is something that is planted and later paid off in the movie.
Absolutely.
So another instance where it's like these things, it really plays fair with you, and it's very satisfying when things happen in a certain way. But yeah, so we know like Hal, despite being more sympathetic, and our protagonist definitely has a dark side to him as well. And so he finds the monkey in his room, and he basically is like,
He pleads with the monkey. He begs and pleads and says, "You kill my brother." Like, he is so angry and he's just in this blind rage. He is just, he turns the key and again, the monkey's hands go up from the drum. It spins. And as we'll later learn, the monkey decides who to kill. You don't get to pick. So Bill winds up coming home, to his mom having an aneurysm as the monkey hits his final drum beat. And again, cut to another funeral.
And the organ music plays as we cut. It's this nice
Sick.
little bit of back masking.
Absolutely. And so the boys are then pawned off on their aunt and uncle. The uncle being played by Osgood Perkins, with the world's greatest sideburns
They
and
are
sunglasses.
crazy.
Uncle Chip. They, according to the movie, they never wanted kids. They're swingers. He tries to console Hal in a moment, and then, we're gonna do our very best with you. It just turns out our best probably won't be very good. So yeah, and then as time goes on, more inexplicable deaths, more uses of the monkey happen. Inexplicably, Uncle Chip goes on a hunting trip, and is trampled by horses, wild horses. And the coroner says it looks like somebody drop kicked a cherry pie. And We do see it. It is,
And
it's
yeah, that's
grotesque.
accurate.
It is grotesque.
Definitely the biggest laugh in
Absolutely.
both my screenings was that line and that reveal.
See, I think going back a little bit, I think one of the funniest, one of the biggest laughs in my audience was Hal asked his mom if she put the monkey in his room, and she says, "Oh, I don't go in there ever since I found that
Stiff sock.
that stiff sock." And see, like that got a really big laugh. But for me, the laugh was really on the Hal going, "Oh yeah." Like I thought the downbeat of that was twice as funny.
Is very,
But yeah, so yeah, Hal is dead. And then we sort of, or not Hal. So Chip passes away. Sorry, that sounded weird saying passes away when he's
when
trampled to death. And so yeah, we get a cut forward, 26 years to present day, and the monkey has been thrown into a well, hopefully never to be seen again. And we find out that Hal is working sort of this dead end job, and has a kid that he only gets to see once a year. Really father of the year material there, Hal. But he is worried that the curse of the monkey is upon him, and he wants to keep his son far away from that. But he goes to visit his son on his birthday, and they're gonna go on a trip, and sort of catch up, only to discover that this is going to be the last time he gets to see his son, as his ex-wife and her new husband, played by Elijah Wood,
In a very funny little cameo.
in a hilarious cameo, have decided to fully adopt Petey, the son. And while Hal doesn't really like this or want this to happen, he sort of just accepts it, as he is sort of, as we can tell, like from like when he was younger, he is just kind of this pushover, and that hasn't changed at all.
Let's see. So yeah, Petey and Hal are on their way to go ride roller coasters, and all of a sudden, they're at a hotel, and Hal gets a call from an unknown number, picks it up. It's Bill. They haven't talked in like a decade or so. And we find out that Aunt Ida has died. That is a great sequence. That honestly, you know what? I'm not going to break it down for you because just it's better if you just see it. It's very funny.
I think that
And
actually
very
that
menacing too.
I actually think that whole scene is online as like a promotional piece. But go see it in the theater, like.
But yeah, so Bill's like, bad news. Aunt Ida's dead. You gotta go like deal with her stuff and also make sure that that thing isn't there. You know what I'm talking about. And then Hal's like, this is dumb. I'm on a trip with Petey. But somehow Bill just kind of manages to like twist the knife, convince him that he has to be the one that goes. So Hal reluctantly drags Petey along with him to Aunt Ida's house, but he's also trying to prevent him from getting too close to it. He tries to make him stay in the car, not come into the house. Yeah, so they wind up back in front of Aunt Ida's house where they meet this just extremely
Pushy.
overly friendly,
Yeah.
pushy realtor who is overly involved for sure.
Absolutely. She to the point where she tries to hand Petey a business card.
Yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm a
I'm a kid
kid."
who doesn't buy many houses.
Yeah. And he manages to like he uses some pretty great manipulation on Hal in order to get into the house by being like, "Oh, I'm a kid who can't go number two anywhere but a house, so you better let me come in with you or we're gonna have a big problem on our hands."
Absolutely.
So Hal and the realtor and Petey go into the house. The realtor's trying to chit chat about, like estate stuff, house stuff. Hal's not really interested. He's just looking for the monkey.
Absolutely.
We,
And that
yeah.
was another good gag too, when the realtor says, we just had that estate sale. We made almost $100.
That was so funny.
I thought that was really
Yeah,
good.
that made me laugh. There's a really cool scene in this where the two of them are having a conversation and he's standing on the stairwell. And above him is this bird of prey taxidermy sitting right above him. And it very much feels like Oz is intentionally drawing a parallel to Psycho and the scene with Marion Crane and Norman Bates, who's played by Oz's dad, Anthony Perkins, sitting there having a conversation, and Anthony Perkins is completely surrounded by taxidermied birds of prey. So I was like, "Oh, we got a little Psycho reference in there.
I see
Very
what you did
cool,
there,
very cool." Yeah. So they continue upstairs. Petey is downstairs, just on his phone. He can't hear anything that's going on right now. And they go into a room. She's trying to get into a closet, and there's this creeping dread that we start to feel. She can't get the key to go in, and it's like, oh no, something's about to happen.
And this might be the most unhinged and out of nowhere kill, because as she opens the door, a shotgun falls and just everywhere. Realtor all over the place, like
He like Hal gets one of her fingers
in his
in
mouth.
his mouth and has to spit it out, and he's like, "Ugh." And then we see in the closet a cross stitch that says, "Guns don't kill people, people
People
kill
kill
people."
people. Yeah, I thought that was
And
hilarious.
just such a good moment.
Absolutely. There are a couple of sight gags like that too, where like when they're driving into the town of Casco, Maine, the sign says Casco, Maine, birthplace of its locals. But yes, the guns don't kill people, people kill people. I mean, I busted up on that one. That one got our audience pretty good. But then, the coroner or the police come and, another really funny moment of like, now obviously Hal can't leave because they're suspicious of him, but the police officer talking to him says, I would say that you could stay here, but have you been upstairs?
It's like the spaghetti
It's like the
factory.
spaghetti factory, and he's meanwhile he's still covered in blood. Like he's like and she's just like the social cue of like, oh well, yeah, I mean, I guess you were up there, but so yeah, that was great. So they wind up having to stick around a little bit. Meanwhile, Bill has employed one of the Ramones to locate the monkey, and
That wig is atrocious,
it's horrible.
I gotta say.
But so, what was the character's name? Was it Ricky?
Ricky and his twin brothers, Thrasher, and he's also played by the same actor. So we've got a little bit of doubling going on with the idea.
I thought it was the same person. Like I didn't know that there was two different characters. I thought it was just the one guy.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Thrasher is his brother, who is the military guy who just sits around watching TV. And then Ricky is the like the one with the bad wig and the skateboard. But
Okay,
yeah, they
gotcha.
are, it's implied that they are twin brothers as well. and they
Okay.
are played by the same actor. And like Thrasher, who is very passive and sits around, also wears glasses, like Hal wears glasses. And Rookie is like definitely the more troubled, like getting into, like obsessed with the monkey part of it. So he's kind of like our shadowy mirror of Bill, and Thrasher is a mirror of Hal, I
And
think.
he sort of has this like longing for a connection with his father, much like Bill has this longing connection for, with his mother. So yes, he obtains the monkey, and Bill calls Hal back, and because Bill, you know, basically Bill wants Petey to come and use the monkey to kill Hal. So they wind up going and finding him in this sort of like wild like villain's lair of a hotel with all of these like CRT TVs all over the place.
Yeah, it's a weird little monkey shrine where the monkey sits at the top of this like huge stack of TVs. It's very visually stunning, like very
Absolutely.
cool.
And Bill is wearing a modified version of his funeral suit from when he was a kid,
With
and he
like,
has this Guy Fieri-esque
yeah, because
cummerbund
that is the shirt that
that he
might have been
wore
the
when he was
shirt he wore when his mom died.
it was.
And so
Yeah.
he's like, he's also sewn that into this weird cummerbund thing. And it's, and
And it
he's got
doesn't
this
fit him, and his jacket is
awful
like
little mullet going on. So
absolutely.
very funny. Like, props to Theo James, because he is playing these two characters and they are identical twins, but he really, really crafts different like demeanors for them. Like they stand differently. Even though they have the same voice, he's developed slightly different cadences and pitches for their voice. It's very good. It's very, very solid work.
Absolutely. And so Bill has obviously booby-trapped his lair. And so we get these like almost kills, but not like these sort of foreshadowing kills.
We get a little reminder that Lois's bowling ball is still in play, because we get see it in part of a the booby trap Rube Goldberg machine that Bill has set up. It's We get just a little like profile shot of it, but it's like, oh yeah, is that the same bowling ball?
Yes, we get the smoking bowling ball. So Petey goes in, and his uncle is sort of monologuing and trying to, you know, to get him to use the monkey. And
And
so
this is like kind of a key moment, I think, because the boy's dad, as Adam Scott, has said, it's not a toy. Hal says it's not a toy. Bill says it's not a toy, like at different points in the movie. And then when Bill is trying to manipulate Petey, he makes a fatal flaw in that he tells Petey, it's only a toy. And I honestly think that, combined with some stuff he's going to do in a couple minutes, is ultimately his downfall, where he all of a sudden does not take the thing that he has built his entire life around seriously. He like flips it and he subverts that, like, it's not a toy. And he's like, it's just a toy.
Which is again, it sort of parrots this idea of like this toxic behavior and these societal issues that we have as that we put on people of like burying your trauma and not taking it seriously. And so yeah, we get again another this moment is so like it's so different from the rest of the movie. Because it's incredibly emotional, but also it's still very funny. It's almost there, you know, to sort of to ape off of Batman v Superman. It's a bit of the Save Martha moment. where Bill is so angry, said, "Oh, but you killed my, like, I'm angry at you because you killed my mother." And there's just this, like, "But she was my mother too." And he goes, "Oh yeah, I never thought of it that way." And so we sort of look past things when we're in anger. And so they sort of come to terms with each other, and Hal extends a hand to Bill as sort of an olive branch to sort of to mend fences in a way. And Hal, or Bill reaches up and, psych, pulls his hand back twice. He does it twice, and I kind of hoped that Hal would do the same on the third and pull his hand back, but they do. He gets up, and they're sort of like st starting to build that relationship that they never really had, because Hal even says, like, "I wish that we could have been there for each other after mom died." But at least they're trying now, which is great. And so Hal invites Bill to come road trip with them and go to the amusement park. But unfortunately, Bill does not get the chance, as he gets
No.
a 10 pin strike right to the face with Lois's bowling ball.
And so his death, which we foreshadowed very early on as being smushed, his head getting destroyed by the bowling ball, it actually happens.
It did. Well, actually, we might need to go back a little bit because,
There's a bit of stuff.
yeah. So we in, I guess we skipped over that whole part. But in the anger of trying to force Petey, to use the monkey and force the monkey specifically to kill Hal, the monkey just starts going out of control, and it just starts drumming by itself, and you just hear these apocalyptic sounds
Sounds.
outside of the hotel, crashes and explosions, and
And
a skydiver falls through the.
it's a bride, which also
So
was
it happens.
foreshadowed earlier too.
Absolutely. So it happens in threes because the instructor comes in first, then the
And then the
groom,
groom,
and then the
and then the
bride comes
bride.
in, and the flowers fall into the lap of Hal. And
And
so.
yeah, another an interesting thing about the TVs is like right before the monkey starts like beating the drum to start this like basically mass death rampage, there's been really nothing showing on the TVs other than static. But as he's like starting to beat that last time, we see a monkeys fighting starts to play on the TV directly behind the monkey. And I was like,
I didn't
ah,
notice that.
yeah, it was pretty cool. I was like, okay, what's going to show up on these TV screens on the second watch? And then that showed up. And I was like,
Oh, that's so
very
cool.
nice little moment.
So yeah, skipping forward again, we sort of have to deal with the aftermath of what has been done, and Hal and Petey drive off through the town that has just been decimated. There's a plane that crashed into a building. There was a boat that was in the roof of a building. I thought that was wild.
A lady just runs by with a stroller that's on fire.
A flaming stroller. There was a businessman who was attached to a tree via a surfboard. And that was a good
Incredibly
one.
wild.
As the movie sort of comes to a close, Hal and Petey come across a pale rider on a white horse. And
Which,
this is clearly death, which I think this my one not so much a complaint, but I was very surprised that Stephen King didn't make a cameo appearance in this movie. I feel like that would have been a good
That would have been
role for
perfect.
him.
I honestly was trying to figure out who it was playing Death because he just like is this very like character actor face.
Yeah, he looked very, I mean, kind of Muppety, right? Like he was very, he did,
And
he
like
looked.
this is a thing that also it has been planted twice, this idea, because both Hal and Bill quote the verse from Revelation that talks about Death being a rider on a pale horse in their early, like earlier monologues. So when we actually see Death show up, it's not like, okay, movie, what are you doing? It's like, oh no, this has like been a kind of a recurring theme that the two of them are kind of obsessed with.
I actually
So.
saw a somewhat interesting fan theory that so there's Death, the riding the pale horse. The monkey is another one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, being the wearing the red jacket, symbolizing the red horse. Hang on one second. So the monkey symbolizing the red horse, and then Hal and Bill symbolizing the other two horsemen of the apocalypse. I don't know how well that actually holds up as a theory,
But you know,
but it was a fun, like,
always fun.
interesting thing to think about. And then so they sort of see death and confront death, and it so this is sort of a metaphor, and then they go on their way. And what are they going to do? They're going to go dancing.
It's a really great
So.
little moment. And we get this like, where Bill's basically like, look, this is a thing we just have to kind of live with
And
and
this is
like
like
keep it
really the
safe.
and this is really the first moment of real connection where Bill or where Hal opens up to his son. And talks about his mom a little bit, and so actually acknowledges the fact that they went through something, and then that they will get through it, and then they will create this special memory, together, and so they ride off into the sunset, and we get one final gag of a school bus full of cheerleaders, which we saw earlier in the
We're
film,
in front of the
cheering.
house
Cheering at the death of the realtor. So they're on a school bus with their heads sticking out the window, and they're just cheering at nothing, and a semi comes by and just decapitates all of them.
Lot of decapitations in this movie.
Absolutely. Credits roll. There, like we said, there isn't really an after credit scene. There was a teaser for me at least, but there is a small sound clip of one of the characters from earlier just going, "Shit, man, that sucks," at the very end of it. But yeah, I think overall, I really really enjoyed this movie. I had a great time with it. It's so silly and wacky, but like so real. Again, it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it also like handles a somewhat serious matter pretty well. I think there are other movies that we may have seen recently that try to do something similar with generational trauma, even like 2025's The Wolf Man. Sort of doesn't nail that quite like this movie does.
Definitely. It was really refreshing to see Oz Perkins kind of stretch that humor muscle. Like his earlier stuff is definitely, I would say, not funny. Like Blackcoat's daughter is not funny. I and the Pretty Thing That Lives in the Wall is not very funny either. Long Legs last year did have a bit of a sense of humor to it, but nowhere near this. So it's really nice to see him like unleash, use that different muscle, go for a different tone. Yeah, like I was very into it.
But he does sort of come from a bit of a comedy background in being in Legally Blonde, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, as an actor, I
As an
think
actor,
he
yes.
probably has used his comedy chops more than as a director.
But yeah, if you had to give this movie how many monkeys out of five would you give this movie?
I mean, yeah, this movie knows what it wants to be. I think it fully commits to the premise, and like I don't have any my only like complaint about the whole movie is Ricky's wig. So, it gets five monkeys from me.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd have to say this probably gets maybe 4.5 monkeys for me. It's really good. It's still good on a rewatch, but I think it sort of diminishes a little bit. But yeah, I had a blast with it. But yeah, that is our review of The Monkey. Is there anything you're looking forward to coming up in the next couple weeks?
Let's see. So, we're recording this on February 20th. Tomorrow is Twin Peaks Day. I am unfortunately not able to be in Snoqualmie and North Bend, Washington to be there for the big celebration this weekend. Would love to be. They were doing a lot of really cool stuff this year. But if there's anybody who's in Washington who got to go to that, I'm very excited for you. I'm going to be just continuing my rewatch of Twin Peaks tomorrow in celebration of that.
I feel like that
If you
celebration this year
are,
has to be extra special, right?
yeah, they did a big fan memorial for David Lynch a couple days ago as an early part of Real Twin Peaks. And they did make that available for streaming, so I was able to catch it. It was pretty emotional.
Oh, that's awesome.
If you are, in Calgary, which I'm not currently, sometimes I am, but they are doing a showing of The Rule of Jenny Penn at, on February 26th at the Globe Cinema. Locally to me, one of my local theaters is showing American Psycho, so I'm thinking I might try to catch that because I've never seen it on the big screen. And yeah. I think that's kind of it for what's going on around in my neck of the woods that is fun and interesting.
Awesome. So if you're in the Kansas City area, Screenland is showing Pan's Labyrinth next Friday night, which I will be there. And then I think the Friday after that, they're showing Bubba Ho-Tep,
Nice.
which will also be a whole lot of fun. And then, Panic Fest is coming up, the final weekend of March. And so we're definitely looking forward to that. And as far as movies coming out, the new Samara Weaving movie Borderline is coming
Right.
out, which
Yes.
looks really good. It's got Samara Weaving and Ray Nicholson, who we recently saw in Smile 2. But yeah, this has been a great episode. And then I think next time we're gonna try and do these bi-weekly every 2 weeks. We don't quite have it nailed down yet, but I was thinking we might do a sort of St. Patrick's Day-esque episode and check out Lee Cronin's Hole in the Ground.
Okay.
Or we could obviously do like Leprechaun or something.
Yeah, I've never seen Leprechaun,
Oh,
so
maybe we'll do Leprechaun.
I would love to watch
Okay. Well, maybe we'll do Leprechaun then.
Okay.
But yeah, keep an eye on our socials at Horror Hero Pod on Blue Sky, Twitter, Threads, and TikTok. We're also on Facebook at Horror Hero. Bethany, where can they find you?
I am Bethany Laurel on Blue Sky and Letterboxd, and you can find me at The Bethany Laurel on Instagram.
Awesome. And you guys have a great week. And remember, guns don't kill people, monkeys kill people.
She's dead, wrapped in plastic.
Yeah, truly amazing.